Welcome to another City Coast Church podcast. For more information, please visit our website at www.citycoastchurch.com.au.
Grab yourselves a seat. Come on back down. Get settled in. We've got an incredible morning in store for you today. Some fantastic faces are going to be joining me on stage very shortly. We're in for a bit of fun. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. You're looking sprightly and fit and ready to go. That's exciting. How are we going with New Year's resolutions? Has anyone put any in place? Has any already broken theirs? Yeah. Fantastic. So we're going to start the year off big. And the key to having a big year is that submission and surrender to what God is doing. And we're going to go around. Now, as you can see, while your eyes were closed, I manifested a couch and a big comfy chair behind me. And the reason for that is we've arranged a fantastic panel of speakers for you this morning to share some of the wisdom and insight from your family here at City Coast Church. We're calling this panel Soar in 2024. We want to head up to higher heights. We want to go beyond the plateau and we want to reach new heights this year. And in order to help us do that, I'd like to invite one of our first speakers, my beautiful wife, Pastor Joey. She's incredibly wise. She's discerning, she's intelligent, she's been operating in pastoral roles for as long as I've known her, probably beyond that. She was probably laying hands on people at 3 years old, is that right, Mum? Yeah. She's a powerful woman of God and she's got some incredible insight to share this morning. Our second speaker this morning is a lecturer at the University of Central Queensland. She lectures at the university and probably does a little bit of it at home too, is that right, Derek? But we're going to invite incredible doctor, professor, master of education, Trixie James to the stage. Give her a big hand. I can't confirm that is her actual title, but we're so excited to have Trixie with us this morning. Fantastic. Now, I think we need some tattoos and long hair on this couch, and I'd like to invite none other than our incredible worship pastor, Josh Peck. Josh, come on over. Drop your guitar down. Now, Josh has a history of being a personal trainer, but more recently he operates as a counsellor at Pearson Services here in town. He's an incredible young man, and he's part of our pastoral team at City Coast Church. So we're excited to pick into that brain this morning. Come on over, Josh. My name's Adam. I'm the pastor of the church here. I'm going to MC this morning. MC? I'm going to host this panel this morning, ask these guys some tricky questions, and we're going to get some incredible wisdom from this. Are you interested in what these three people have to say this morning? Yeah, okay, I'm going to sit on down. Well, good morning, Happy New Year.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Pastor Joey, how have things been since you left the house this morning?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Look at these faces, everyone's back from holidays. So good to see you all.
Trixie, Happy New Year.
Thank you. And it is lovely to be here and looking across this sea of faces.
Are you ready for a new year?
I am, actually. Yes, I'm very ready.
Very ready? Eager. Very ready.
She just stopped off a cruise. She's been on a cruise all week.
On a cruise.
She's ready.
Yeah. She's been sailing the seven
Beautiful.
Seas. Plundering. No, not plundering. She's not been on a pirate ship. Hey, Josh, Happy New Year.
What's up, Pastor Adam?
Hey. I want to start our panel off this morning just with a little bit of fun. As we know, sometimes when we go into a new year, we might encounter or come across things that we may not have anticipated at the start of the year. Now, I thought it'd be a fun question to ask each of you. If you had the opportunity to go back a year in time and speak to little 2023 Josh or baby Trixie at the start of 2023, is there anything that occurred through the year that you would have loved the opportunity to give them a heads up? If you could have said anything to you at the start of last year to prepare you of what 2023, what would have that been, Pastor Josh?
I was going to say ladies first, but okay.
What would I have said to smaller, younger 2022 Josh? I would have said that there's these two people, pastors Adam and Joey. They've just came to your church, and next year they're going to have a conversation with you about becoming a worship pastor. And there's a trick to it. They're going to say that nothing's going to change. It's not going to increase workload. It's going to be the same. Responsibilities are all good. Don't listen to it. But embrace the heck out of it, because it's going to be a fun ride.
Yeah. That might have taken off the surprise. Trixie, if you had that opportunity to give you a heads up, what would it have been?
Look, to be honest, I think the advice I'd give myself back then is the same as advice that I'm giving myself right this very minute, because I know I take on way too much. So it's like, okay, Trixie, just don't take off more than you can chew, because you're really going to wear yourself down. And it's okay actually to say no at times. So for busy people, it is actually okay to say no if it's actually going to impact you.
Absolutely. Okay. Pastor Joey? Anything you could have done?
I would tell Joey, you are going to love Bundaberg. You are going to love City Coast. You are going to love all your new friends.
Yeah.
And everything's going to be all right. That's what I would have told her.
Yeah. Everything's going to be all right. That's fantastic. Hey, Trixie, as the new year begins, I mean, we're all aware of this common practice of setting New Year's resolutions. Is this something that you personally do? And if so, what do you consider when you are making New Year's resolutions?
Okay, so look, as a very young Trixie, she used to always make resolutions and they would never get past a few months and they'd just fizzle. So as a wiser, older Trixie, I don't make resolutions anymore. Thank you. I don't. I set goals. I set goals because a resolution to me, when I used to set them, was like a wish. Just and it's gone. If you don't put things into action, they don't become anything. So I'm a goal setter. I like to set what I'd like to see I achieve, and I'll put plans in place, and then I actually do them. I get out there and action them. So there you go.
Yeah,
sounds
fantastic.
A bit academic, I'm sorry.
Fantastic. Any other New Year's resolutions on the couch? No, we're just going to plan. We're going to set goals. Fantastic. Hey, Josh, I got a tricky one for you this morning. Look, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking to the people about not being anxious about anything. He talks about don't worry about the food you're going to eat or the clothes you're going to wear or where you're going to sleep at night. And it goes through how he dresses the lilies of the field and gives the birds a place to rest, and everybody gets to eat and be happy. But what is the difference between somebody who is anxious and worrying and someone who will plan and prepare? If God is calling us not to worry and not to be anxious, is there still space for us to be preparers and planners?
Yeah, great question. I would have preferred the resolution question. But but to answer this as quickly as possible, but as best as possible, anxious and worrying, planning and prepared. So there's like a healthy and unhealthy version to this where you can be anxious and worrying and be an incredibly planned and prepared person to the point that it's over-planning and over-preparing and it's unhealthy and it dictates every part of your life. But not only that, the unhealthiness then comes from it consumes everybody's life around you, as opposed to a healthy version of planning and preparing where it's, you know, planning for those next, it's making plans and then God directs those next steps. But like, I looked at the full chapter of Matthew chapter 6 just to get context on it, if I can go into a little biblical bit there. And literally like there's like different parts of it, of giving to the needy, prayer, fasting, all of it. And each section starts with, it sets the context where like giving to the needy starts and says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. It says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. And it's already creating a picture of this chapter of, okay, we're getting something about try not to make this, like try not to make everything you do have to be seen. Like all your good stuff doesn't have to be seen, but not all your bad stuff has to be seen. Like You don't have to walk into the room and share your anxiety and worries with 50 people that you talk to. It's smarter in a closer collective group that can actually speak health and wisdom into it. Because like your identity isn't, I'm anxiety. Your identity isn't, I'm worry. Your identity is, I'm a child of God. I'm a son of daughter. If anything's going to be seen off me, I want people to see off me when I'm in the storms and when I'm going through hardships that I reflect Christ. It doesn't mean that I'm in the absence of it, but during it, I'm going to reflect Christ as best as possible, and that's what's going to reflect to the world that there's something different about having Jesus in my life. So, yeah, there's a difference. You can plan and prepare while you're worried, but I don't want it to be unhealthy. I want it to pursue me to the kingdom.
And sometimes there's a partnership with God's provision, right? Sometimes there's a component that we might be praying the prayer, Lord, we need more income in our life, and then someone offers you a job and you're like, no, it's all right. God is going to provide some finance for me. I don't need this job. Sometimes that job offer was God's provision in that moment. So sometimes there's a step that we need to take in order to receive God's provision in our life. Next question, I want to hit you up again, Pastor Josh. I'm just going to bash you real early on. Look, many of us like to set goals for our physical fitness, and we might establish eating plans or diets as the new year starts, but sometimes we forget to cater for the health of our spirit man or our emotional self as well. How important is it that we have that sort of holistic consideration when it comes to exercise in our life, and what does that look like in your life?
Yeah, so I love health and fitness. I love all of that. I love being on a healthy diet. If you know me, you know that I'm a very strict, I take care in saying that I know I'm disciplined. Some people would say I'm a nerd with how disciplined I am. to the point where I won't stay out late on a Saturday night. I'll be home in bed by 9:30 so I can give my best on a Sunday morning, because everybody here deserves to be led into the best possible worship, to be led with a clean mind and a pure heart. And I don't want my tiredness or my half an hour extra of enjoyment that I had the night before to affect what powerful thing could happen on a Sunday. And awesome. Not saying that I'm bigger than God and can stand in the way of it, but if I stand there and play all the wrong chords and sing worse than I normally do, it's going to be a terrible Sunday. So there's a holistic side to all of this. Like if we're talking physical exercise, like physical exercise has the ability to create something in your brain called BDNF, which allows you a greater capacity to learn at a quicker rate and a better rate. It helps you have better sleeps. It encourages you to have a better diet. It helps you to hydrate. And once you're exercising well, once you're hydrating well and you're sleeping well, you find that things actually start to fall into place and you start to have a better shot at life with things. Like if you're sleepy and you're dehydrated and super hungry, there's a good chance you're going to come to me and say that you're anxious and depressed. Your body's not functioning on anything. It's got no chance of beating anxiety and depression. Give it a shot by actually getting your 8 hours, drinking your 2 liters and having a healthy diet instead of eating sugar. Like there's some basic stuff that we as Christians can apply to our lives that then when we go into the spiritual and emotional, it can have an even greater impact, where then we're praying, we're fasting, we're reading the word, but we're reading the word on a healthy mind. Great. We're not distorted in our mind's sake. We're not depressed in our mind's sake. Seeking the Bible, we're going, man, I can see Jesus in all of this. I can see he's a provider. He's a redeemer. He's my everything. And I can see that and not just come in an unhealthy state. Like I want to give God my best because he's given me everything. So, you know, it's completely holistic. I don't know if I answered that correctly.
No, I think you've given us plenty to chew on there. I mean, our physical self, health is probably just as important. I mean, when we're vessels and we're carrying the things that God has put in our life. Oh, hey, guys over there, how are you? When God has put something in us to go out and share that, I guess that vessel that we carry that with needs to be capable of going the distance as well. So it's important that we look after our physical self. Pastor Joey, not all of us got through 2023 unscathed. Some of us did face some very real trials, and there have been ups and downs through the year. And it makes me think of the verses in Ecclesiastes where it talks about there's a season for everything, that there are times to laugh, but there's going to be times where we weep. How important is it that as men and women that we consider the concept of seasons and the way that God can operate through those seasons? What does that look like for us?
I'm so grateful for seasons because it means some things end and good things can start, aren't you? That we're so grateful. Oh, thank goodness there's a finale to that season. I'm celebrating today that now we start a new season. So God knew what he was doing when he created day and night and created autumn and spring. And I think when we can relax and get into the rhythm that there is going to be change always, it puts us in a position where we go, okay, I need to be able to adapt. I need to be able to learn. I need to be able to assess. But through my seasons that have been more ones of trial or pain or suffering, I have had to discover what condition I am in to be able to withstand that storm. And I think speaking to a church today, we look at that scripture in Luke about building our house on the rock. Let me remind you, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words, this is Jesus, and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. The ones who hear my words, who does not put them into practice, is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And I think when the storms of life come, the seasons that are dark, the seasons that are hard, it really puts us in that place of assessing, I don't know that I am built with a strong foundation. And through a recent season in 2018, when I received a really hard diagnosis, I had to really assess, where does my strength come from? And in that time, I realized I'd done pretty good, actually. At that season of my life, I was surprised to find that I had abundance of faith to withhold this storm. That from me in this shock diagnosis, I was able to open my journal and start to write out things that was truly already a part of who I was, which is scripture, which is faith confessions, which is beliefs. It's that moment where I'd be able to go, who is God to me? He is my healer. I know these things. And so my house, this Joey, is built on a foundation that is strong to withhold the storm. If I was not prepared, it would be like trying to put tiles on the roof in the storm. It's like not knowing the word of God and being expected to know his promises for you in this storm. And so a season comes, it's hard, and all of a sudden I'm scrambling and I'm flicking and I'm texting friends, what's a good scripture about this? Because we don't have it already truly as part of who you are. And so to be able to build a house, I think, is the key on knowing if I can build it on the foundation of the word of God, that when the storms come and when the seasons come that are challenging, I will not be shaken.
No, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. So, yeah, it's no point waiting for the storm to start digging that foundation, have it prepared in advance. That's awesome. Now Trixie, you're a busy young lady around town. You've got plenty of things going on. You're serving and being a part of the City Coast Church family here. You're lecturing at the university. You also have a tiny little cycling club called Pink Flamingos, which is doing quite well from what I understand. So by all means, your life is looking very full. It's looking very functional. You're not a red hot mess. What are some of the things that you ensure are not in your life to ensure that you can continue a full and functioning life? And what are some things that you find can hinder you in maintaining that level of fullness in your world?
Great question. Great question. I could answer this in so many ways. I think, number one, measuring like success, what I believe to be success in my life, is very, very different to everyone else. Like, we have our own measuring stick, and we need to ensure we're not trying to be somebody else. We need to be who God has created us to be. So a lot of what I do is based on my values. my first value is my spiritual well-being. It's the Lord. It's being a of Christ-like character in everything that I do. So, you know, success for me in that sphere is ensuring that every day I walk with the Lord. Every day the decisions I make are based on what His Word says, that I pray about it. When we have issues come up in life, which we all do, it doesn't matter where you're from, there's something, there's health, there's so many things that come up, we always put it back to God. We ask Him for His guidance, for His healing hand, for His power. So that's number one. My second value is family. You know, and number one is my marriage, making sure that this amazing husband of mine over there is always happy. So if he hasn't got a smile on his face, but marriage is really important to me. It's ensuring I put everything into that amazing man and being that wife for him, that Christian supportive wife that'll help him to be the best that he can be. And also my family, my children, my grandchildren, you know, just being that grandma that can speak life into them, to encourage them, to help them walk in their own little spiritual lives and to develop their own relationship with Jesus. So they're the two key ones. But my third value is actually making a difference. That is something I really value. So in everything that I do to make my life purposeful, it has to make a difference. So even in my job as a lecturer, it's about speaking life into these people, helping them to overcome self-doubt and building them up. But my Pink Flamingos is that in itself. It's a community organisation that supports women to get into cycling, but it's all about encouraging, empowering and uniting women so they've got this supportive little hub. And it really is making a difference out there, and it's growing so much. And I'm holding on to a word that I heard here in church one day about it's going to reach many, many communities throughout Australia, and that's my goal. But you said about hindrances. There are always hindrances. And even for the most outgoing person, you can still have a lot of self-doubt. Like sitting here between these two, like these guys are teachers. They're powerful. They bring the Word of God into everything that they do. And I could sit here and think, oh, I feel a little bit, you know, like a little small person. But but God will use you no matter what. And so number one is self-doubt. Self-doubt is debilitating, and we need to overcome that. We need to say, we need to actually believe in ourselves, but look to the Lord to give you the strength, that internal strength that you need to step out in faith and take on whatever it is God has planned for you, because it's the self-doubt. But the other one thing that I think as a community we need to be very, very aware of is how our negative thinking can also be like like a ceiling, yes. So we tend to naturally think to the negative, and I think what we need to be doing is think to the positive. So when something negative does arise, it's one of the things I teach with positive psychology, actually. For every negative, you need to think of three positives, which is really sad that the positive, like negatives, outweigh the positives. So for every little thing that goes wrong or is negative or you're thinking in that way, think of three positive things, you know, that can overpower it. And I think even as Christians, you know, even coming in here to church, so often we come here saying, oh, Lord, these are the problems I have. But I think before we even start addressing or saying to Him, I've got problems, saying, thank you, God, for what you've given me. Look at the blessings. I've got an amazing family. I've got this. I've got this, you know, good health. I've got whatever it is that you've got going well. You should acknowledge that and bring it to the forefront first and then say, but God, I need your help. These are the things that I've got areas, problems with. So there you go.
Fantastic. Pastor Joey, Trixie mentioned then the importance of overcoming self-doubt and a lot of internal things that we need to conquer before moving forward. There's actually a lot of talk around at the moment about the idea of self-care and looking after self. And as believers, when we're encouraged to come to serve rather than to be served, what does that self-care look like in a Christian walk? And how does the idea of godly rest play into our lives in the society that we live in?
Yeah, absolutely. Self-care's
become a trend, hasn't it? You can look even across the board of things like the amount of fitness clothing shops that all of a sudden has appeared over the last decade are making millions of dollars. People are really resourcing themselves of this whole self-care look and feel, even if you're not at the gym, just at least look like you are kind of world. But for me, it comes back to that scripture in Matthew 11:28, where the Lord calls you in and says, abide with me and rest. It is this, come to me, all who labor and who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I think we all know that scripture if you've been a Christian for a while, that invitation to come to me. And I think I preached a message, if this answer even is something you want to know more about on Christmas Eve, about the peace of God. And it is that place of being come to God in that surrendered place and say, I actually need rest. And I have gone to the day spa, I've gone to the therapist, I've taken the pill, I've been to the counselor, and all those things are not wrong. But you have sort of gone to everything. It's a bit like the woman with the issue of blood. The scripture says for many, many years she had done everything that she could, and then she heard about this Jesus who was coming to her town and thought, well, I've got nothing to lose. Supposedly he is a healer, right? Pushed through the crowd to receive her healing through faith. And I think rest can look like a very physical, practical thing. It's putting your feet up, it's taking a holiday, but true heavenly divine rest is coming to the Father. True heavenly rest for your body, because I mean, I know when I come to the Father, I'm not running around. I'm sitting, I'm waiting on him, or I'm worshiping him. I'm in a relaxed state from my soul that needs healing or even a spiritual type of counsel, or my spirit who needs that encounter with him. True rest is rest with the Father. And he invites you in that scripture, come to me, I will share my yoke, which is that bit between two cows where they carry the load together. He's saying, come to me, and that's where you will find the rest. And so I encourage you in finding that rest, even right now, for those who are still on holidays even. You're trying to take that breath before you go back to work, or you treat weekends like that break, which might just look like boating, or it might look like just watching Netflix. What we really need to do is take time with the Father. And that is the place that you will feel replenished, renewed, reestablished in who you are, a reminder of how your capacity is and what strength you can go ahead to do. So, yeah, that's true rest.
I think the incredible thing about a godly rest is it can partner with you while you're active. It doesn't require you to be feet up in a hammock. You know, like, we can be active in the things God has called us to do and the path that we've been planned. And because we abide in him, we have that surrounding presence around us. That's why it's a peace beyond understanding. How can I understand peace and rest while I'm still actively carrying out things God has called us to do? There's something incredible.
Can I add to that? I feel like the battle for peace is often accompanied with, but Joey, you don't know what I'm going through. And obviously there are a lot of those in every story, right? Yeah, but you don't know what I'm facing. The Lord does. And the scripture that you just quoted then is beyond our understanding, which means in the natural, it makes sense to be overworked. It makes sense to be stressed. It makes sense to be disheartened and have that worry or fear around you. In the natural, you could tell me your story and I would say, okay, well, that's earned stressed or worry or whatever it is. But in the spirit, which is where we are, we operate in that spirit level as Christians, he gives you a peace beyond understanding, which means I don't understand while I feel good. But even though you know my story and what I'm facing, I have a peace of God, and only that can come from the Father. Does that make sense?
Yeah, awesome. Pastor Josh, getting to know you, I've started to pick up a few little traits about the way you exist and the life that you live. And I can see that you're a man of boundaries, and you're a man that is thoughtful in your actions and your plans. You gym four times a day, 7 days a week. You eat reasonably healthy unless I'm cooking for you, and you genuinely have about three or four books on the go at any one time. You generally walk around, you've got some non-fiction self-help book in your back pocket wherever you go. Why do you consider reading such an important part of your life, and how does it benefit you, and how could it benefit others who may be here this morning?
Yo, if you haven't had food from Pastor Adam, you should. He's really good. And it's not worth eating healthy for that reason. Kidding. Eat healthy. It's good. Why do I value reading so much? It's honestly so good. I'm going to say two completely different names. One of them said it was either Bill Johnson from Bethel or Elon Musk. And they're like completely opposite people. Yeah. One of them potentially maybe said that reading a book is like having a mentor. And like in a smaller community kind of setting, it's not as easy to get mentors, especially if you want mentors in specific areas. And for me, I love learning about how to grow as a leader, how to grow as a worship leader, how to grow in either evangelism, the prophetic, whatever it is. I've already finished a book for this year, and that was called Jesus on Every Page. And that was teaching me how to see literally the Son of God, Jesus, from like Genesis to Song of Solomon to every single book, and outlines how you can do that. And for me, I want to, if you want to grow, you need mentors. I can't grow off just what Josh knows, and there's great people here, but then there's also books that have 30 years worth of knowledge put into 200 plus pages. Why would I not jump at the opportunity to grab 30 years of knowledge and be able to take that in within the week and then apply that into my life? It sounds ridiculous to not kind of do that. So that's why I love reading. It gives me growth, and if your leader's doing better, your team's doing better, and there's just so much goodness from it. So I love to read.
I also finished a book already this year. It was hard, but I found Wally on every page, so that's good.
Good job.
That's good. We've sorted that one out. Trixie, Benjamin Franklin once said, "An investment into knowledge pays the best interest." Now, you graduated high school maybe a little before Pastor Josh graduated high school, but you've recently completed studying again. What did you complete at university recently?
So I've just finished my PhD.
Just knocked over a little PhD, yeah. So obviously, once you hung up the old school uniform, you didn't say, that's it for education for me. There is still knowledge to be obtained out there. There is still learning to be had. What do you believe is the value of continually investing into education and that pursuit of knowledge, regardless of what stage of life you're in?
Well, actually, yes, I probably finished high school when this one was born. But I finished at grade 10, so education wasn't on the cards for me. I went back as a 33-year-old and started university to do my education degree. And so it's sort of more from there. Education's become my job, and I really now see the value of education. But a caveat is that, you know, higher education may be my job and what I'm loving doing, but it's not for everyone. But education is for everyone. Education in learning, in being open to learning what's out there. We call it lifelong learning, and I think it's really, really important that everyone just grasps that and is always open to learning. It's just so important. But the other thing that I believe is probably even more important is learning to be a critical thinker. Because too often, especially in society today, we're being bombarded constantly with society's truths, you know, and it's often not God's truths, but we can so easily get misled and be led, you know, down the garden path. So I really believe that learning to be a critical thinker, learning to question what's being put out there and to really stand by what the Word of God says and align it. Even in church, like, I take notes all the time. I'm probably a bit of an academic geek, or I take notes about what, everything in the Bible, and then go back to it, because we can't even we shouldn't be sitting there and just believing absolutely everything. We should be going home and reading it ourselves and checking what that Bible says. And is this in context? We should be doing that as critical thinkers. So, you know, I'm sort of trying to apply my what I'm learning as an academic, but into my own world, and I do it with my kids and with the ones that I teach. It's really getting them to think about what's being said and what, how does it stand against your, what you value and in life. So, did I answer that question?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's pretty obvious from what you're saying, Trixie, that education can look different from one person to another, the way we learn and the way we take on knowledge. Pastor Joey, another way to learn and to gain knowledge is through mentorship. How important has the influence and of input of men and women in your life been in shaping who you are, where you are now? How important has it been getting around people who have walked the walk that you're now walking?
Yeah, amazing. I just can't even imagine who I'd be without the voices I've had in my life, you know, to think of the amazing mentors or women in leadership that I've gone and said, you know, I want you to have a voice in my life. I want you to pick me up on things. There's a scripture I was just digging for there in Proverbs. It says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. It's just really clear. Like, it's encouraging you to get advice and many advice. And I know we can find advice in the wrong places. There needs to be discernment and maturity in who you pick and the voices that you allow in. If you're a Christian in the room today, I encourage you to find those faith-filled believers with experience. You know, if you're going through a specific thing, it's worthwhile finding somebody who's been through that, not just been through that, but actually overcome that. Then they have wisdom, they have experience from a godly perspective, maybe from a practical perspective, but for me to strategically bring people into my life as a voice have been life-changing. You don't know what you don't know about yourself. And so allowing yourself to be humble, to hear that maybe you have some rough edges that need work is an incredibly humble thing to do. But it is going to set you up to be maybe, for example, received well. We're called here to go and reach our world for good and for God, you know, to influence our world, to the Great Commissioning is to go. If we are then raw and have all these areas, we may not be received at the best that we can be if we have not allowed people to help us with our language or our communication or the way that we hold our face, the way that we are uneducated, the way that we, I don't know, approach things. And so it's important to have people in your corner that tells you things about yourself. And I think also you want that mentor to always bring it back to the Word of God. What does the Word of God teach us about this issue or this character? Let's talk about the fruits of the spirits. Let's talk about those things that maybe out of the 9 fruits of the Spirit, you're nailing 3. Okay, we've got 6 to work on in 2024. All right, let's do 1 a year. Whatever it is, we need those people in our corner to be able to address those things. And honestly, I would not be walking the day that I am today if I'd not had those people talk to me about communication, talk to me about how to love, how to serve, how to give, all of those things. So I couldn't advise it better. I mean, I can't mentor you all, but I'd love to help you. And we've got people even in our church that love to mentor and love to disciple. If you are looking for those people, you can reach out to us as a church because that is our role here, to come around you and help disciple you in different aspects. But I do want to say this, and just because I've got the mic and I'm a pastor, right? Don't expect us to know things about your life unless you told us. Don't expect me even to come up to you and engage in your marriage if I see things going on if you've not allowed me a voice into your marriage. Does that make sense? Sometimes you go through pain and situations in a church setting and you wish the pastors would come and bring you advice and clarity and pray for you. But Adam and I don't know sometimes, but more than that, sometimes we do know, but you've not invited us into that place. And so we'd encourage you as leadership team, if you give us permission to speak into your life, we can help you in that space. But until we're invited, that's not a door we're going to push in on until you open yourself. And the reason for for that is when you do open yourself and say, hey, we need help in our marriage, that gives us an invitation to bring forward godly wisdom, and you're ready to hear it. Does that make sense as well?
I think that's one of the incredible things about being part of a fellowship. We don't have to rely on Google to find all our answers. We might go, hey, I'm in my mid-30s, I'm looking at going back to school. Hey, great news. Two rows back from you is an incredible lecturer at the Central Queensland University that knows exactly where you've been, and she can help navigate you through that. I'm navigating issues that on the home front. Who was someone that faced marriage troubles but overcome it? Yeah. Oh, great. There's someone three seats up from me. I'm going to have a conversation with them. And that is the beauty of the house of God and the fellowship of God. People is there's people from front to back of this auditorium that could help you with what you're navigating in life. Talk to Les Boyd. He has so much experience. I find something new about Les every Sunday. He's got a wealth of knowledge and incredible history in walking a life of faith. And I mean, being in a church, it was only a matter of time before we come back around to the idea of faith. Pastor Joey, for someone who may have never stepped into a church before today, maybe they've never opened the Bible, as they head into 2024, why would you suggest that there is value to be found in Christian living and biblical principles?
Such a massive question to close on.
But 12 seconds.
Literally, it's red already yelling at me. I don't know that. You are the panelists, but I can't imagine. I can't imagine my life without Jesus. I can't, if you're here in this room and you've lived a life with Jesus, can you imagine then going back to living a life without Jesus? And so if you are a guest or a visitor in this house today, we sell a product and we sell a person and his name is Jesus. That's all I've got. We can even mentor you in your relationships or your workplace or whatever, but it's always going to come back to Jesus. It's always going to come back to Jesus. And he is, like we sang in that song, he was a savior then and he's a savior now. And we come to this place of a church to gather. And the reason we gather is because left and right are faith-filled saints. And we sharpen each other's iron in a room like this. And then when we talk about things like this, we feel our spirit and our faith lift, right? We talk about things like this. Our hope rises that we can do it. If you can do it, I can do it. And when we come to a place like this church, we get to experience and encounter genuine presence of God, this beautiful place of God that he is the temple of worship, but we come in into this worship place or we hear the word of God. Every week I feel that presence of God. And maybe you're a guest and visiting today and you've got a stack of questions. We want you to ask those because discovery about Jesus is the best way to fall in love with Jesus. The more you know about him, the more you're going to love him. I promise you. Because he is an ever faithful father to you. And so we're here selling the good book, and it is written for us as the inspired word of God. And for 2024, I cannot encourage you more to read the word of God. And come into this place. Do not forsake the gathering of saints. Yeah. I'm preaching to the choir because you're here today. But make Sundays a value in your home. It's the first day of the week. It's 2 hours or an hour and a half of your week to come in and allow your faith to be sharpened, your spirit to come alive, clarity about the word of God. You can see more vision and clearly in the presence of God. And so if I can encourage you two things, keep coming to church, keep reading the word of God. It'll change your life.
Fantastic. Guys, why don't we give Pastor Joey, Pastor Josh, and Trixie a hand. Thank you for your wisdom, your insight this morning. You guys can take a seat. Josh, you can go plug a guitar in, but hey, look, we hope you took some practical advice out of today, but even more importantly, we hope you grasped the fact that everything that we apply to our life is in partnership with our relationship with Jesus Christ. And this morning, just while the band come, can I just ask each of us to close our eyes and to bow our heads? Because every Sunday in this house, before we lock up the doors and we head home, we want to make sure everybody in attendance has had the opportunity to step into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Christ. So while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, if while we were talking this morning, you noticed there was something in the life of these three incredible people that I need, there is something that they have that I don't have. And this morning, that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you find yourself in that position this morning and you say, hey, I want Jesus in my life this morning. I want what he can bring to my world and what I can do on his behalf this morning. If that's you, if you would like to ask Jesus to come into your world, if you would like to be a believer this morning, just pop your hand up in the air and I'd love to pray for you this morning. If anybody this morning wants to make that decision, maybe you've walked with Jesus once before, but you've turned and had a different direction, but this morning you want to come home. Just pop your hand up in the air and I'd love to pray with you this morning. We're not going to shine a spotlight on you. We're not going to call you out the front, but we would like to believe and see that hand up the back. Fantastic. Fantastic. We're celebrating with that incredible decision this morning. Church, just repeat this prayer after me. Beautiful lady that rose her hand, just say this prayer along with us this morning. Lord God, we thank you that you died and you rose again. And you did this so I could live, so that my sins could be forgiven and I could receive the gift of salvation this morning. Come into my life. I want to be a follower of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, why don't we put our hands together? Let's celebrate that incredible decision this morning. If you did make that decision this morning, maybe your hand didn't get up in the air, but there was something going on in your heart. We'd love to meet with you. We'd love to set you up with some next steps. And the best way to do that is pop over to the hub over your left-hand shoulder. We've got a Bible we'd love to give you. We'd love to get you connected with some people in the house and just help navigate what the next steps of this decision look like. So make sure you pop over and see the ladies at the hub after the service. In the meantime, why don't we jump to our feet, celebrate like all of heaven is celebrating this morning for that decision. And we are going to go out singing a song of praise. We'll see you tomorrow night here at church for a prayer meeting. We'll see you then.
Thank you, City Girls. Go with one more song. We'll see you guys next week. Sir.
There's joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart, I've got this joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart, down in my heart.